climb ladder. Choose your own adventure.
Welcome to the Slime Wire Podcast, episode 2817. I am your host, Triton T2, broadcasting out of Portland, Oregon. Of course, joined by my co-host. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Good to talk to y'all from the island of Shikoku, Japan. This is Ikemen Sensei, coming at you live and direct.
Swag. All right, well, all right. What are you eating?
I'm eating some kimchi. It's my favorite brand of kimchi. I get it at the local supermarket. It's very sweet, and it kind of tastes like apples.
All right, swag.
It is delicious.
Cool. So I wanted to start off this episode. I wanted to bring in the reins a little bit, because we went a little, I mean, I don't want to say we went off course in the last episode necessarily. It was a great episode, but this is first and foremost a Vaporwave podcast. Am I correct?
Yeah, I can't deny that.
Yeah, there's nobody's denying this.
So no.
There is some interesting Vaporwave news that came out this week where a very famed and admired Vaporwave artist, Telepath, removed several albums from his Bandcamp. Hold up, my fan that I set up for Smoking Inside just fell, so I'm going to fix that really quick.
Oh, yeah, no, not a problem.
Slime Wire. Choose your own adventure.
All right, sorry about that.
No, you're all good.
But yeah, Telepath, he had to remove several albums from his Bandcamp. I assume it's because of copyright claims, or maybe fear from copyright claims. Do you have any initial thoughts or reactions to this news?
So you told me that it's not just copyright claims. It's because he has to remove these albums if he wants to make music that's more mainstream. He wants to take his sound in a more mainstream direction, right?
Well, it's not that he necessarily has to remove these albums, but this is definitely a trend happening with a lot of major Vaporwave artists where, a lot of them are trying, there's been recent Vaporwave artists who have gone towards all original music and have gained, some clout and made some money off of it. Obviously, George Clanton is, a huge example, right?
Yeah.
So, and Telepath has been doing this for years. He's been working on all original, ambient music and sort of veering away from the classic Vaporwave sample-based style that he originally was known for. So, I think a lot of what's happening is a lot of these dudes are they're not necessarily getting copyright claims, lawsuits thrown at them at the moment, necessarily. But in order to, progress their, image as an artist, they are voluntarily removing these sample-based albums. So that they're more presentable to a mainstream audience.
So they're selling out is what you're saying. They're basically renouncing their Vaporwave credibility in an important sense.
That's a way to look at it. I wouldn't necessarily go that far, but yeah, you're right. It is a form of selling out, yeah.
But I think, it's everything that you particularly value in Vaporwave is what they are now not renouncing, or I guess renouncing. Yeah, they are basically renouncing it and just saying, no, that's not us anymore, and we're going to try to become real musicians and not just slowed down sample-based musicians. Which is very interesting because
the whole concept of if your music is all original, that means it's necessarily better. That doesn't necessarily sit right with me. But, I mean, there is something to be said for an artist that, is just, literally interested in music production and, wants to sort of get outside of the Vaporwave echo chamber and not be, seen as a Vaporwave artist. And, people want to read, reviews of their shit, They want to see themselves in, whatever, internet blogs or whatever. And, there's nothing particularly wrong with that. So I don't want to say that they are selling out, but it's not in necessarily a completely bad way, if that makes sense.
Well, I'm surprised at your nuanced take on this because as somebody who's probably the biggest, definitely the biggest Vaporwave fan I know, mm-hmm. I would imagine that you would have been much more up in arms about it. If you took a comparable musician, say you took like a punk musician, and one of their fans heard that these musicians were selling the rights to their old albums to a new record label, and they're gonna put a pop punk album inspired by Green Day and American Idiot.
Yeah.
That guy would be totally pissed off. He would be murderously enraged by that, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I guess there's two different ways that these vaporwave artists are sort of attacking this. Do you know about, like, Dan Mason? Have you ever listened to much Dan Mason?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I've probably showed you, like, a few songs here and there.
I was going to say.
He was originally, like, a very classic vaporwave dude. He recently got signed to 100% Electronica, which is George Clanton's label, right? And they're, besides Death's Dynamic Shroud, they're basically pushing all original music. And so Dan Mason has shifted his focus from, like, sample-based music to original music, and he is having to, or he's been talking about how he's going to need to remove some of these albums from Spotify and from Bandcamp, but talking about it in a way that is like, yes, I have to remove them, but I want people to still be able to find them. I want people to still archive them, and I want them to still be, like, out there. And that's a different thing than just, like, removing something head-on. And it's, and Dan Mason is he's able to do that because he's, like, a particularly visible vaporwave artist that doesn't hold the anonymity, like, super seriously. Whereas somebody like Telepath, isn't going to go out and tell you that you should archive their albums, you know. Telepath exists as, like, a faceless entity that just, like, you know, spoon feeds you shit that you like, you know.
Yeah, you can't,
So it's a double-edged sword. You can't retain your, like, anonymity and mysteriousness as a musician if you also want to, like, come out and make a statement about real shit where you're like, yeah, I have to take some of these albums down, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the worst thing the Telepath could do at this point would be, like, drop, like, a YouTube video and where he was like, hey, guys, like, real sorry about
hey,
this.
Hey, guys, Telepath here. Make sure to hit that like and that subscribe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you get to see him, he's like a fat 35-year-old guy with, like, glasses. So he can't do that. But, like, yeah, so I get what you're saying. Telepath is more concept music and the very vaporwave idea of, like, the fact of you finding it randomly on this, like, on maybe, like, a message board. After scrolling through all of the Dream Catalog, like, releases that you can find, is part of the whole thing of Telepath, right? So, like, the fact that he's gonna, just the fact of Telepath, like, becoming a commercial artist in any way, is gonna ruin all of that stuff, you know? That whole mythos. Yeah. And I think Telepath, I really have the idea that Telepath is a vaporwave fans, vaporwave artists, right? He's like,
he's like, it's like a New York rapper being like, I'm your favorite rapper's favorite rapper.
Yeah,
like, everybody loves Telepath, and that's why it's particularly sad that he's having to remove
music. Well, people who know like Telepath, people who like really are who are dedicated to vaporwave really like Telepath. So
I think Telepath is one of the bigger names out there. I mean, he's half of 2814, which is like one of the biggest, but yeah, so, I mean, there's two ways, like, you can look at this. And, like, one way is that, it's sad. It's, like, super sad that Telepath has to do this, and then he, like, wants to maintain his, like, persona, and so he can't, like, come out and, like, tell you what the real shit is.
Yeah.
And then the other way is, like, the, maybe, like, what is this trajectory of vaporwave where people are just, like, sort of, they're sort of on the low, like, downplaying what vaporwave always was. And, like, moving into other areas.
Yeah, is it an evolution of vaporwave, or are you kind of just removing, I mean, does that make what they're now doing into something that isn't vaporwave anymore?
Yeah, does it matter that it's called vaporwave, you know? Like, is vaporwave a genre, or is it, like, a scene of people that are progressing as a group, you know?
Yeah, well, like, so, like, the people, I mean, I would say that all of the music that I've heard from, say, like, when you mention an artist, a vaporwave artist that then went on to create original music that achieved some level of popularity, I first think of St. Pepsi, right? Because that was like, at least to me.
Yeah, St. Pepsi or like Blank Banshee, I would say. One of those.
The difference between St. Pepsi and Blank Banshee to me is that Blank Banshee was always like a vaporwave artist. Like, he was vaporwave music that got popular. That also happened to be not sample based.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but it was like a weird thing.
St. Pepsi's music that he made was not, like, it was just like pop music with like a retro, like Miami funk vibe to it, you know? Like, all the music that I heard from St. Pepsi, I can't remember what he released it as, but.
Talking about like the old future funk St. Pepsi, or are you talking about when he like became like a real, like changed his name and like tried to.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the music that he made after he changed his name.
Yeah.
That wasn't vaporwave. I might be like a little bit skewed because I remember I heard all of that guy's music when I was home one time, and I showed a bunch of my friends Death Dynamic Shroud. You had showed me Death Dynamic Shroud, and I went back home, and I was like, oh, you guys, you have to listen to this album, blah, blah, blah. And everybody's like, oh, that's pretty cool, but let me put on this other thing. And I didn't know it at the time, but it was St. Pepsi's album under his new moniker. And I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. This is good, you know, it's chill, but it wasn't actually vaporwave, right?
Yeah, so for people that don't know, he changed his name to his real, I actually don't know if it's his real name or not, but he changed his moniker to Skylar Spence, and that album was called Prom King.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's released anything under that name since. I think he's basically gone back to vaporwave. This happens a lot of times where artists will like, or maybe it only happened this one time, or like in these couple years where artists like George Clanton like disavowed vaporwave, or HKE, or like HKE still disavowing vaporwave. But then in a way they sort of came back because they realized sort of like the money you can make off of vaporwave by selling vaporwave vinyls, because vaporwave fans are fucking insane and they will spend insane amounts of money for vinyls.
Yeah. Yes. It's nobody's anime model.
Yeah. Nobody's going out and buying like the new like Mac DeMarco or King Cruel vinyl. Like, those indie kids are not as into it as these vaporwave kids are.
Absolutely. So it's okay, to get kind of back to the main point, which is, to my mind, do these, like, what does Telepath going mainstream, removing his music, mean for the general current and flow of vaporwave? I think that, you know, really, those guys are, if they're changing their music to make it, like, recognizably not vaporwave, right? Like, if Telepath is making ambient music that is not sample-based, and also doesn't have kind of a general vaporwave vibe. And number two, he's removing his music from the traditional channels in which you can get it.
Yeah,
he's distancing himself from vaporwave in general. His new releases are you're going to have to pay for them, right? Like, I'd say that's just not vaporwave anymore.
Yeah, I mean, this is all, like, theoretical. Like, he literally just removed some albums. We really don't know what's going on. And, like, even if, like, say Telepath requires you to pay for his albums like on Bandcamp, which he may already be doing. A lot of labels already do that. I don't think it's bad to have your music on Spotify. Like,
Spotify
does cost money, but it's like a very meager amount of money for what you're getting. Artists aren't getting paid. Like, Drake is getting paid a lot from Spotify, but like, you know, Telepath isn't making like a big chunk of change from Spotify, most likely.
No. I don't have any problem with an artist removing or wanting to make money with their music. But I do totally think that, like, you know, more power to those guys if they want to do that. But, like, it isn't...
More power, but it ain't vaporwave, you know.
It ain't vaporwave. Yeah, more power to you, but sorry, buddy, that ain't vaporwave. That ain't vaporwave no more.
Yeah, you might have to leave the club. You might have to join a different club. Yeah.
And I mean, like, I think it's like, if you, this might seem, I think this might seem a little bit callous or like shitty. I don't know. I think a lot of people would think, like, if you want to follow all of those artists, if you fell in love with Vaporwave, right, in 2011, the height of the scene, you're surfing on some, you know, hot fumes from Dream Catalog, you got all those classic artists, and your allegiance is really to those artists, and you just want to follow them out of, follow them as they're leaving Vaporwave as a genre and, like, into a new thing, then that's fine. But A, it's not Vaporwave anymore, and B, those who remain, like, it just really calls attention to me to, like, the parts of Vaporwave that are really distinctive about taking slowed down sample music from really popular songs and releasing them for free on the internet with no hope of making any money. So I think it's, like, really contrasts, like, if you say that you're still a fan of Vaporwave, even at this point, after it's lost so much credibility, after the foundational artists are trying to move away from it, you know, it calls attention to the things that make Vaporwave the most special.
Yeah, and that's, like, sort of a conversation that isn't, like, had very much. So what would you think in this? This is a hypothetical instance. Say Telepath, say he wasn't getting copyright claims or anything. Say he just was like, oh, my old music was lazy. I'm, like, a better musician now. I want to be known for this.
I see.
Some of that is happening as well, you know.
Yeah. So if
I'm not saying Telepath is doing this, but that is, like, a thing that I've heard, yeah, in the scene.
People saying, like, oh, I only made that music because I was, like, 15 and I had no idea how to use a DAW.
Yeah, like, I cracked FL Studio and, like, now I have a whole setup and wasn't the music, like, I was trying to make, you know.
Damn, yeah, that's also really dark. I mean, yeah, I think that totally sucks. Like, that is an attitude that I'm much less appreciative of.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah, that's the entire romance of Vaporwave is lost, you know. But yeah. There are, on the other hand, there's plenty of artists who grow up, who make some crazy shit that everybody loves, and then they grow up and then they want to do some other shit. And the new shit sucks ass. They think that they got really, really good, and that their old stuff is really bad, but everybody still loves the old stuff. So, like, I think that's a natural thing of any scene growing up, you know?
Yeah, it's sort of a natural thing with, like, artists as people in general.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, I don't want to talk shit, but yeah, a lot of artists have, like, big egos and think that they're, like, the shit, you know? And, like, when you put something on the internet, like, especially in the context of Vaporwave, where it's, like, a really small scene, even if you're, like, 15 and you did it for fun, like, but you put it on Bandcamp and you tagged it as Vaporwave and some people listen to it, like, it's canon. Like, it's in the, like, the realm, yeah. You know? Like,
yeah, people, yeah, yeah.
Maybe somebody, like, really liked your shit and they're going to be really, like, upset when it gets removed, you know?
Yeah, true. Yeah, I don't know.
If you're, like, afraid of copyright claims, like, just fucking make it free. Like, who cares? If you don't care that much about it, then why are you charging money for it in the first place?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm generally, and this is the other thing, like, where it's, like, so different from other forms of music where there's scene, right? Because, like, Vaporwave all takes place on the internet. It's basically acknowledged between everybody in the Vaporwave scene that they're doing it because they're, like, bored or lonely and don't have, like, a place to go in their real lives, you know? So, like,
yeah, it's the saddest way to put it, but yeah.
Yeah, but like, you know, I like the idea that anybody, whereas, like, a punk musician, to continue this analogy, a hardcore punk fan would be really mad at one of his idolized bands leaving the scene because that's, like, a physical scene and it's, like, a family and a community. Like, Vaporwave fans, I like the idea that Vaporwave fans maybe understand a little bit more if somebody wants to, like, sell out. Because they're you do you, man. Like, stop working at your, like, call center. Like, fucking, like, yeah, blow up, dude. Like, glow up. Get it where you can, man.
Go for it, St. Pepsi. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. Like, there's nobody in the Vaporwave community that's putting down those individual artists for wanting to become successful, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if there's anything, like, else I want to say about this, is that it's really important in the Vaporwave community to archive as much as you can, if you can, you know? If you have a fucking external hard drive with lots of memory, like, just start putting shit on there. Because you never know when it's going to go away. And do that for all internet scenes. Like, you have an external hard drive that I loaded up with hella music, and I loaded it up with, like, every Metro Zoo mixtape that exists, and you can't find, like, half of them on the internet anymore. But you have them.
Yeah.
You want to listen to them. Yeah.
They're around.
They're around. And, yeah, eventually this shit is going to get, like, trading cards. This is going to be, like, Pokemon. Like, you're going to have, like, an album that nobody else has, and you're going to trade. And it's going to be lit. It's going to be fucking dope.
Yeah. Yes, yes. You have access to all of the rare shit. I'll give you that hard drive when I come back to America.
Oh, it's all good. I mean, I want you to learn from it and you to grow.
As a person, yeah.
Oh, speaking of Vaporwave artists that are, like, breaking out into the mainstream, I'm sure you know of, like, George Clanton. Like, his...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He did a stream... He's been doing Twitch streams since like quarantine started, and he had Ariel Pink on his Twitch stream today.
Really?
Yes, that's pretty amazing. Like,
yeah, damn, yeah. Ariel Pink's a celebrity, kind of, I guess.
I mean, he's a lot more well known than any vaporwave artist.
True.
Any
true.
Single vaporwave artist. So.
Yeah. 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 That's cool. I haven't been following the career of Ariel Pink as of late.
I don't think he's done much in a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. After calling Grimes stupid and retarded, he sort of fell off. He's definitely, like, it sucks because he was my favorite, you know, he's really the only indie artist that I still like. And he's also the most controversial.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Too bad for him. But a total, absolute genius. Shouts out to Ariel Pink. Even if he is a bad person, still definitely a genius. No doubt about it.
What do you think about this take? I had a friend recently, he was talking to me about how if Kurt Cobain had survived, he thinks that he would have gone, like, electronic, sort of like Radiohead or, like, Blur, and, like, sort of done what, like, a lot of those indie bands in, like, the late 90s were doing. And I was like, no, I think he would have gone in a more Ariel Pink territory. And I think he would have gotten really into, like, songwriting. And
No, I think my trajectory for him would have been like a Lou Reed type thing. Like, it gets a lot more, maybe less, not exactly songwritey.
Like, it's way pretty more, like, unabashedly experimental and, like, fuck
yeah
type shit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would see as a natural progression for Kurt Cobain, is, like, pare it down to, like, just a guitar and, like, a bass, and then do, like, really weird, sparse folk music. You know?
Yeah, yeah, that'd be cool.
Really freakadelic, sparse folk music would be what I would want to hear. Yeah.
Well,
damn shame.
All right. Well, that's pretty much all the Vaporwave news.
That's all the Vaporwave news.
That's I did want to say, fucking Christ, listen to our first episode. You didn't listen to our second. I hope you listen to our third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be burns in hell if he doesn't listen to our third.
Come back, Christ. And please come back to us. I don't know. Besides that, it's just, like, sort of news, like, what's going on. And I guess the biggest thing is that Kanye is running for president.
Kanye is making the bid for the president.
Okay, so we talked about this, but there's been new developments where, like, he had Elon Musk as a main supporter. Recently, there was, like, an article that came out where it was, like, Kanye West is anti-abortion and anti-gay marriage, and Elon Musk commented on it and was like, I think our views might not be as in tune as I first thought.
Which implies that Elon Musk got that information from that article. So he just didn't bother to fucking ask Kanye West himself about it. You know? Yeah,
it implies that Elon Musk is somehow dumber than Kanye West.
Oh, absolutely. I don't doubt that for a second, honestly. That just screams to me that it's like, it totally was Kanye West and Elon Musk hanging out, and they got high and were like, dude, if you ran for president, bro, I would fucking totally like support you. It'd be great. Like, yeah. I'll get in my submarine and I'll run around the like West Coast doing tours with you, dude. Like, it'd be fucking awesome. And then like Elon Musk like did some basic research about it and was like, oh shit.
Or didn't do that at all. Just read like one article.
Yeah, because he just didn't know.
Yeah, because somebody linked it to anti-abortion. Him, yeah.
Yeah. I imagine that, you know, people that rich, they really don't talk about their personal, like, political beliefs that much. They're usually too busy doing, like, designer drugs and, like, driving cars really fast on the highway and paying off cops to not get them arrested and shit. Well, so, like, they don't have time.
They all want to appear, like, socially super liberal, obviously, because like otherwise people would cancel them or whatever. And yeah. but deep down they're all you know, they're all extreme capitalists because they have loads of money. Absolutely. You know.
Yeah.
I think Elon Musk is like a libertarian, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's almost the opposite for Elon Musk, because if you are truly a capitalist, then you don't have to give a shit about like getting canceled, because you make your money by like selling an essential part that they put into all toasters or whatever, and that makes you trillions of dollars. So nobody knows your name, and you just have a giant mansion in the Hamptons, and you don't got to worry about getting called out because nobody knew who you were to begin with. The fact that Elon Musk would be worried about getting called out just kind of attests to the fact to like how much of his supposed wealth is built off of brand recognition and identity and
a bunch of Grimes.
Yeah, dude, Grimes' music sucks.
Grimes' music doesn't suck, man.
There's one song that Charlie XCX put on her playlist that I listened to, and it was pretty good. It was pretty good, but
all I only listened to her new album like once. But like, I mean, Oblivion is like a great song. It's a great song.
Oh yeah, 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 Oblivion. Yeah, I've listened to that one. It's a very good song.
Yeah,
you're
it's
right.
Very, very good.
All I can remember is listening to her first album and getting four songs in and being like, this is like really shitty.
I don't want to like, I mean, so whether or not we think Grimes is like a great artist, I don't really want to get into like super intense discussion on Grimes' music, but this is an interesting thing that I just thought of. It's like, you know, the way that like Grimes can make like pretty cool music and be like sort of on the internet and on social media being like progressive or whatever and like saying all these things, but then while doing like wild other shit like dating Elon Musk, you know, like it's that's not that different from like somebody like Kanye being like a big like Kanye said like George Bush doesn't care about black people, and then like 5 years later he's like hanging out with Donald Trump, and like that's not, that's like a much bigger digression than like Grimes dating Elon Musk, or even like Ariel Pink saying that Grimes is a stupid and retarded. Which is still funny to me, you know, but maybe it's sexism. Maybe we have some inherent bias.
You know what? Yeah, you're totally right. We're coming down on...
Even somebody like Young Thug, who is the greatest artist of our generation, who just recently did a split album with Chris Brown.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you say Jesus, and like, yeah, at like first thought that is like, oh god, what is he doing? But then you think about Young Thug as like a persona, and it's like that totally makes sense for Young Thug to do. Like, it totally makes sense for him to do something that nobody would expect, and that would just like be totally divisive and just like totally weird, you know.
True.
Yeah,
that is true.
That's sort of a tangent.
We are on like a tangent of a tangent. Grimes music is actually really good. I should get that out of the way. I haven't really gotten that into her music, but there's a couple of tracks on Charlie XCX's mixtape, The Motherfucking Future, which is a great mixtape. It's on Spotify. You should listen to it.
Motherfucking Future, eh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, she has some really good songs. But anyways, Elon Musk, Kanye West running for president. I think it would be really interesting if we had a, like,
like a devout evangelist Christian, like black man as the president. Like, it'd be a very strange new take if we had a guy who had really reactionary beliefs, but he was a black guy. Like, it sounds like basically what, like, Kanye West's system of beliefs are, is like what he read on Wikipedia about, like,
evangelicalism.
Yeah, evangelical Christianity. And then that's what he now says he, like, he says he believes in God. He doesn't fucking know the first thing about God.
He has never read the Bible, that's for sure.
Yeah, that man has never been, that guy's never been to a fucking church before.
He did it way late. Like, there's something to be said for people, like, if you grew up, like, around the church and you're, like, devout, you know, like, whatever, like, that's your belief, that's cool. But if you're, like, some dude that, like, was just a piece of shit that was, like, addicted to heroin.
Definitely.
And then you, like, go to church one day and, like, everybody's nice to you. And so you're like, oh, this is awesome, bro.
Yeah.
God is so fucking real, dude. Like,
yeah.
That's what happened to Kanye. Yeah. He went to church one day and everybody there was nice to him because he's Kanye West.
Yeah. So you basically, like, and I do understand what you're saying. Like, yeah, later, people that convert to religion late in life tend to be way more intense about it. And, you know, it's basically because they have found religion, but they haven't internalized any of the practices of religion, like being humble and, like, you know, honoring thy mother and thy father and shit. And, like, just being a down-to-earth dude. Yeah. Because they were assholes. They, you know... If you find religion later in life, there's a good chance that you did something so bad that you had to find religion to fix it.
To feel good about it, you know.
To feel good about yourself. So yeah, that's kind of what Kanye West is doing. So I think that if he was president, like, Donald Trump was pretty bad, but like Kanye West would be like the Nero of the United States, like just watching the place burn while he laughed insanely in the background.
Yeah,
he'd be a fitting...
You said a long time to me that, like, first it's, I mean, it's a known thing, but, like, first it's tragedy and then it's farce, right? I mean, so originally Donald Trump was the farce in this analogy, but now maybe he's the tragedy and Kanye West is the farce.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's just, like, a two-part farce because, like...
Maybe it's, like, a farce for the rest of time. I mean, I don't know how you feel about Michael Moore. I kind of like him. Michael Moore has, like, been saying that celebrities should run for president for years. He wanted Tom Hanks and he wanted Oprah to both run for president. And because they're celebrities and people will vote for them. I mean, this is sort of a thing that people are talking about, not, like, in that way, but, like, a lot of people say that they want, like, Michelle Obama to run, you know? And who is Michelle Obama if she's not a celebrity? You know, that is a celebrity campaign, in my opinion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, like, part of that might be the idea that, like, we should have a celebrity run for president. I think sort of we should have a celebrity run for president as a Democrat because it'll give us a lot of votes and a lot of voting power that we might not otherwise have. You can't really think that unless you also think that, like, the presidency is kind of a meaningless figurehead position, which I'm sure that Michael Moore does think that or has thought that in the past, you know? But, like, the thing about that is I think that Donald Trump has totally proven that shit wrong. Like, if you have a fucking idiot as, the president, then things will actually be really bad.
there won't be anybody
to, like, fucking do anything, you know?
But so if you haven't
proven that, like, no, dude, the presidency is not a figurehead position. Like, you really need to know what you're doing in order to, the president does actual work.
He's
not just being manipulated by puppets.
But this maybe doesn't apply to Kanye, but if you have like a celebrity Democrat president rather than a celebrity conservative president, you know?
Yes.
I feel like they're just gonna, like, the Democrats' whole game is to do things like on the sly that you don't even notice, you know?
Yes.
You just like think that the world is great regardless, you know?
Yeah.
So it actually might work, not for people, but for like their recognition, and.
That's true. I mean, yeah, like you get a Michelle Obama, you get like an Oprah, you get them in office, and then you just turn them around and like, okay, we'll take it from here, Oprah. Like, you just, yeah, like, get your nails done, like, get a foot massage.
Yeah, we're going to be drone striking Yemen. Country.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And Oprah will be like, yeah, I get okay. But, like, Donald Trump and Kanye West are going to want to, like, make lots of choices that are going to affect the country in, like, lots of ways.
So if you're electing a celebrity, you can't elect a fucking psychopath lunatic like Donald Trump, Kanye West.
Yeah. So, like, they got really close to having a great figurehead president that they could just have Mitch McConnell run the country with. But they didn't. They just didn't know that he was a fucking lunatic. So now they got to deal with that. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing of, like, Donald Trump being the guy that's going to just blow everything up and destroy everything, it's like, you always, like, I, you know, a year ago I would have said, like, no, that's not true. He's actually, like, A, he's not really changing the game up that much. Like, he's not really doing anything that would be too out of character for a conservative president to do.
Yeah.
He's basically continuing the legacy that was left by Bush, you know, like, ramping up, like, hawkish international measures and shit. And, but, like, there, you know, there's always a chance that the guy's playing 5D chess, right? Because, like, I think everybody in America now...
Donald or Kanye? He's playing 5D?
They're going 5D, man. Because, like, everybody in America, I think, just knows that, like, nobody knows what the fuck is going on in the White House, right? Like, he's just made that totally obvious that it's that, like, everybody in politics is mortal and they're all doing, like,
yeah, that this shit can end any second, like,
yeah, exactly. Like, if you just get some absolute crazy lunatic in a position of power, like, there isn't, like, an Illuminati that is guaranteeing the normal functioning of American society. It's really just all every single person in the White House, Parliament, Congress, all trying to do their jobs. And they can totally screw up and fuck everything up really bad.
Yeah.
So in that sense, he basically has pulled the pants down on, like, every political official by basically mishandling a plague. And, like, yeah.
So are you saying that somebody like Biden would be better than somebody like Yeezy?
What do you mean?
So, like, Biden, like, he's not, I mean, he's obviously, like, a psychopath that has been in politics for 40 years. But he's not, like, a lunatic outsider that's going to just, like, fuck things up in, like, ways that nobody ever thought you could fuck up before, right?
Yeah. I want to stick to my guns and say that, like, no, a centrist, like, Democratic candidate would be worse precisely because they're going to return things to, like, a version of society that smoothly functions, except it functions at the expense of minorities and the dispossessed, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, he's going to bring it back to, like, the Obama years where there's people, like, you know, society, like, American society is on course to keep on, that engine's going to keep on running, but at the expense of deporting millions of illegal immigrants, right?
Yeah.
But after 4 years of total fucking insanity and basically feeling like I'm looking for the precipice about to plunge into madness, I'm like, I'm not sure I'm ready to take the plunge, you know?
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to be normal for a little bit.
Yeah, it would, I don't know if it would be nice. I feel like I would just get more angry than I, like, usually are, because, than I usually am, because there would be things going on that nobody would be talking about, you know?
Yeah, well, I would, you'd be, you know, I also recognize the total, like, stupidity and hypocrisy of, like, just being totally assured that Clinton was going to win and being like, no, but you guys actually don't know. Clinton's actually super fucked up, because that kind of got, like, that got my rocks off, because I got to be like, oh, well, actually, you guys are all stupid because you're going to vote for Hillary Clinton thinking she's progressive, but actually she's a war criminal. But now I see that the only reason I, like, you know, thought that was because I it made me feel like I was super smart, you know?
And because there was no feasible chance of the world, you know, turning on,
yeah,
going in a 180 different direction.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And now it has. But now yeah, I would like for there to be a president that might be able to contain the coronavirus within like a year.
That would be nice
for me. Because I'm looking at, you know, I have no fucking idea what I'm going to do now.
All right. Well,
got him in Japan, baby.
Yeah, you're lucky, man. You're lucky.
I'm very lucky. Yeah. Right.
Well, here, you want to take a quick break?
Quick piss break. We'll get right back to the issues. What are we? Are we shifting into the culture segment?
Yeah, we should. We actually have two albums to read.
Cool, cool. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about that Arca cut, the new HKE. I'm hoping that you've been keeping up on your Neon Genesis Evangelion run so that we can talk about that. And yeah. And oh, yeah, I looked up, I refreshed myself about Hauntology. So if you want to talk about that, I can talk about that again, you know?
I feel like we had some stuff we needed to talk about this episode.
Absolutely.
We can push that stuff till, you know, next time when there won't be things to talk about, you know.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's riff. All
right.
Let's riff, baby.
All right.
I'm going to pee. I'll be right back.
All right. Pee.
Slime Wire. Choose your own adventure.
Oh, good to see you.
Right.
Okay, so what are we moving on to?
Well, I feel like we can push Hauntology up to next week. I have to do a little bit more reading. And we actually have some culture to dive into, right?
Yes.
So,
some very important culture.
What do you want to do first? Do you want to do Arca or HKE?
Let's do HKE first, because I have some extended thoughts about Arca that I want to get out there.
All right. So, yeah, so HKE recently released a new album on Dream Catalog. HKE has been teasing his return to the Hong Kong Express moniker and that he's making, like, a very important Dream Punk project. This is not that. It seems like a one-off. It's about 20 minutes long. It's under the name HKE rather than Hong Kong Express. And it's, it's not, like, very vaporwave at all, but it's not, like, super, like, the music isn't, like, something that you wouldn't expect HKE to be making. Sounds to me like something that is, like, very, like, it reminds me of his Sequence 777 series a lot.
Yeah, I was gonna say, as somebody who's admittedly less familiar with the HKE oeuvre than you are, I thought it was definitely, like, a return to form, for sure. Like,
yeah,
that super, like,
it was really dissonant. It was really kind of creepy. It had a thematic sort of sound and goal throughout the whole thing. I thought it was really interesting. Yeah. I really liked the last two tracks, personally.
Oh, Dissolve into Days. I really, really liked Dissolve into Days. I was a big fan of, I feel like probably would be fairly obvious that I would enjoy, like, if you knew my musical taste, you know that I was a big fan of Euro. Yeah, it was like, it's the middle track, and it's the one that just has this bass line that's just like wham ba wham ba wham ba wham ba wham ba wham. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. No, it's super dope. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really liked, like, I enjoyed the return to this, like, sound of living in a tiny shitty apartment in Hong Kong in the mid-90s. It had that feeling to it again.
Dirty, it feels sweaty, you know.
Yeah, it feels humid.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, as somebody who lives in the rice basin of, like, Southeast Asia, like, that sound is, like, my daily life. Like, it's so, like, as we speak, it's, like, 24 degrees, 25 degrees Celsius, and it's just pouring rain, And there's a rice field outside of my house. And
what is that? What is that in Fahrenheit? I'm sorry, I don't know.
It's like mid 80s.
Okay.
And maybe a little bit cooler than that. I can never tell. At this point, I'm just turned to like I just judge by Celsius, so I don't think about it in Fahrenheit, because you know I'm an international man. But yeah, so I really liked the returned form. I thought it was, yeah, like definitely a lot of the stuff that he's been doing on doing with flat music and kind of like harder music. He still has, or like he's obviously like learned a lot from it, yeah. But it's coming back into his old sound, which yeah, I think it's really really interesting. I want him to keep on exploring that fusion, you know.
Did you read the write up for the album?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll read it really quick. Continuation of the recording of new music is done purely in service of the benefit of mankind and for the personal utility of every individual who decides to make use of it. I, the creator and recorder of this music, am a humble servant of the culture and time. And that's all he says. And that is pure HKE. Like, if you've been following HKE in the past few months, he is like over and over again talked about how music as an art form is dead and about how it's like purely like a commodity. It's purely become like a something you set in your house to like set the mood. It's no different than like the poster behind your couch or like the drapes on your curtains.
And yeah.
I think it was probably about a year ago, maybe not that far ago, where he on Twitter posted the picture of the jester hat, and he said, "Musicians, I want you to be honest with who you are. Put on the hat," which is. My God, man, this guy's a fucking genius. This guy's hilarious. Like,
put on the hat.
I love that there's this guy that is like he's like a genius artist in his own, but he recognizes how like stupid and banal like everything he's doing is, and so it's like, I want everybody else to realize that what they're doing is stupid, and I want you to wear the jester hat and be honest and say that you're like making a product, and that like this isn't important at all, you know. That's a very interesting way to like attack art, how HKE is doing it. Like, I love it.
Yeah, for sure. I like I think it might be just HKE's you know, isolated kind of sound. Like, the HKE sound feels relevant again because we all have to live alone and can't talk to each other anymore.
Yeah, but, HKE is made for quarantine, definitely.
Yeah. And just the general theme that runs through the track listings and, like, the music itself of, like, being a sad millennial 20-something service industry employee.
Yeah, let's look at the track titles really quick. The first track is No More Art. The second track is Laying in Bed. Third track is Calmer. Fourth track is Euro. Fifth track is Still Laying in Bed. Sixth track is Requentin. I don't know what the fuck that means. And then Dissolve into Days and Planet Love.
Yeah.
So vaporwave track titles and like album titles and even like the artist name you use, because if you're a vaporwave artist, presumably you have multiple different aliases. Like, those things have always been very important to the presentation and context of like vaporwave, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. So overall, I really liked it. I like recently I've been listening to a lot more kind of dancey, ambient style music, and I'm glad to have this on my regular rotation.
Swag. All right, do you have anything else about it?
No, I'm good. Yeah, I think it's a solid album.
Yeah, it's solid. It's only like 20 minutes. Like, it doesn't take long to listen to it. And I am like very eager for HKE's next Hong Kong Express album, which is supposed to be like a true return to form and like a sort of musical statement, something big. So we're definitely going to review it when it comes out, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When's that dropping?
Nobody knows. He's working on it.
Damn. Mm-hmm. Well, all right.
All right, well, and then the other one we had was the new Arca album, which I was not, like, super familiar with Arca before this album. I remember on fucking the 4chan board for music, Mew, people used to always post, it was like a four-person grid where it would be James Ferraro, One Note Tricks Point Never, Arca, and then some other dude that I don't know. But it was always like, you know, it was like a choose your fighter type thing. These people since like the early days of like internet music sleuthing forming have been known as like being these big important artists.
I was surprised to get on here to get on Spotify to listen to the new album and discover that they were well-established musical presence since like the 2014, I think, and so that was interesting to me. I haven't listened to any of their older music, so I don't know if
know this one album, same as you.
So I'm definitely interested to go back and listen to like all of the music that they released before, because I definitely like
this album. Incredible.
I thought it was, well, at first I was totally nonplussed by it. I was underwhelmed because I thought within it took like only this long and there's already people like biting at the heels of Sophie's sound. Like, that was my first take, honestly. Because, I was like, I cannot believe that there's already somebody who's like, oh, yeah, I'm like a gender non-forming experimental pop musician, too. Like, totally. I was like, oh, god damn it. Like, what the fuck?
Like, so you took this in as, like, an affront to Sophie.
Not as an affront to Sophie, but if somebody's going to come right after Sophie puts out Oil of Every Pearl's on Insides.
Great album, yeah.
Like, oh, hey, I'm a gender nonconforming person who explores the themes of gender fluidity through the, like...
through the lens of, like, super experimental, like, pop music.
Abrasiveness, like,
and...
And then my first thought is like, okay, you should have something to differentiate yourself. Like, you can't like just start. You can't just be that, you know. So when I first time I listened to the song was my car, and I was kind of like meh. Like the first couple tracks, I was sort of, just not digging that much. Then as soon as I got to Rip the Slit, I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. And Machote is where I really liked it, because what I love about this album is that it is like, it does progress on the ground that was laid out by Sophie by being like a way more like dirty, like gross, like Rihanna type pop music, you know?
Whereas, that's interesting. Go ahead, keep going.
Because, like, you know, Sophie's like the Madonna of this new burgeoning art form, where she's
like hyper pop or nightcore or.
Yeah, yeah. So she's way more conceptual, right? That's like the first thing that really I think differentiates Sophie and Arca, or at least this new album by Arca, is like Sophie's music is like there's Face Shopping and like Pony Boy, which are both kind of about like alternative approaches to like sexuality and gender, but they're not like, you could listen to all of Sophie's album and not really realize that it's also about the experience of being a transgendered person. But like Arca is like, you know, the first song is all about like,
oh yeah,
like, I'm I'm basically just whatever I feel like at any given time, like blah blah blah. Like it's like just right, totally there.
No, you're totally right, because the first what's the first track of a Oil of Every Pearls on Insides is like, what's it called? Fucking
That's okay, it's okay to cry.
Yeah. That song is like entirely about like Sophie's experience being transgender, but you wouldn't like really know it unless you were like looking for it. And it's like totally like devastating. Like
song. Once you realize,
yeah.
So that to me,
it's an amazing song, by the way. Like anybody that has to listen to it, it's so good. Like
I think there's another great part of listening to like Oil of Every Pearls and Insides is like, for me, I first listened to that and did not know that it was about being transgendered. And then once you listen to it again, like just having that knowledge, like the entire album just clicks, and then you listen to it in a different way that you never would have understood before, which is totally fucking amazing. But you know, there's no like question about that. Like that's like front and center with this album. So what I really like is what differentiates this album between Sophie, which is much more conceptual and like, you know, quintessentially about gender and sexuality, but not completely on the cuff about it. Like this is way more sexy and like grimy and dirty than Sophie's album. This is like club bangers, right?
Yeah, so what I took away from, like, I like Sophie's great, but like you love that album a lot more than I do. I'm not like as into Sophie's shit, because to me it's like really, I don't know, it's like really abrasive and really like experimental to the point of like, I don't want to like not talk shit, but like it's experimental to the point for, to me it's like almost like a little bit too much experimental. And this Arca album is like fucking like, yeah, the first track, like the first couple tracks, you're like, oh, okay, like I get what she's trying to do or what they're trying to do. And it's like, but like as you go through it, like there's like so much like fucking pop gold on this thing. The track Machote, very like, that was the big one for me. But also Rip the Slit, also Calor, also Watch, like it's, they're really amazing. All of these songs are like so dope.
Yeah, I was surprised that you, at first, so I listened to this album one time in the car while I was driving somewhere, and I put it on, but I was trying to really, like, pay attention to it and think about what I was thinking about it as I was listening to it. And then the second time I listened to it, I was doing my homework, and I remember listening to Calor, and it was after you had already told me, oh yeah, Calor is a total slap, and I was surprised that you that one stood out to you at first, because I thought like
it's beautiful. There's like this like weird like mixture of like these like super hard, like I don't want to say trap beats, but like really hard like beats with like really sort of like beautiful melodies and stuff. It's like it's an archetype that like goes back to like Aphex Twin, you know.
Okay, so that's your reference point for that song, because when I hear that song, my first thought is like a mid-2000s like male singer-songwriter, like god damn it, who's the guy that wrote You Had a Bad Day,
You Did It Down. I don't know, but I know what song you're talking about.
Or that, or like it reminded me a lot of like a Tom York solo music, so I was very surprised that you liked it. But then I remember that how much you liked It's Okay to Cry, and I think Calor is definitely in the same vein as It's Okay to Cry. Like, it's very, kind of like,
there's a big difference between this album and the Sophie album, where they take that song and put it in the middle rather than the beginning, you know?
Yeah. Because this album is not primarily about the catharsis of coming out. This album is about getting laid, getting paid.
Be a badass.
I one thing I also really like about this album is the Latina like the Latin music influence that it has.
Yeah, well, Arca is actually from some Latin American country. I was going to say Brazil, but I'm not sure, and I don't want to fuck that up. But Arca is Latin American, yeah. Venezuela. Really? Oh, yeah. Arca is from Venezuela.
Okay, okay. That's super fucking interesting, because like, I think it's either Time or Mequetrefe. Yeah, it's Mequetrefe, where it has these really like Latin rhythms to it, you know? Yeah, and yeah. I love the direction that, because like as much as like all of like night music has that influence of like 2000s pop music, most of it, like most of the big night music, nightcore music people don't like have like the Latin, like what do you, like Fergie, like type influence. But yeah, like that was also like a huge fucking part of like mid 2000s like female pop musicians toolkit, right? Like
Shakira, yeah, definitely, yeah,
it was like was totally popular, like people loved that shit, and that is like nobody, like we're at the point where we are like the nostalgia machine is feeding shit. Like we are now feeding the music of the mid 2000s into the nostalgia grind mill, right? But nobody ever fucking puts like the like Latin music, like Mariah Carey, like fucking Mariah Carey isn't exactly that, but she has a lot of, like a lot of Mariah Carey's music had that kind of like Latin tinge, right?
Yeah.
But like none of the mid 2000s pop music revival music that we're hearing now, that is, I would say, de facto led by like PC music and nightcore music in general, and Sophie and all that shit, none of that has any of that specific 2000s pop music in it. And like Arca's like the first person to do it, right? So I was really pleased to hear on Mashote and Mequetrefe, sure.
I don't know. I don't have that. My phone just like fucking broke on me, so I can't look it up. But yeah, no.
Damn. Yeah, but like, yeah. So I love hearing like the really experimental synth sounds that mixed with like Latin grooves. Like that's a really interesting thing to me. That I hope they can like elaborate upon, you know. I think it's like totally unexplored territory.
Yeah. I think the like the beats and the instrumentals of this are not too far off from that new Charlie XCX record.
Yeah, I think they're a little bit more advanced, or like, you know, I don't want to say advanced, but like Charlie XCX's music sort of has like it has that future sound to it, but it all has to be radio friendly. But this is definitely more like, you know, those first weird little clicks and clacks on non-binary and like that bass line. I'm pretty sure that Arca is using the same technology that Sophie is using to make these beats.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's totally like deconstructed synthesizer music, you know. So this album was definitely a grower on me. Like when I first started, I was like, oh man, like this is just like a knockoff Sophie, like are you fucking kidding me?
I can't believe you'd be so into it.
Yeah, I was so pissed that I was like recommended it to me, because I was like, oh come on, Morgan, like this is like if you showed, like if your mom knew that you were into Radiohead and then she got you like an album by like Creed or something, you know.
but it's really good. It's really good.
Yeah, it is really good. Yeah. So it gives me hope that the kind of like musical frontiers that are currently being explored by people that came before Arca, like people can elaborate on them, you know.
As far as album of the year goes, I think this is like it's right up there with How I'm Feeling Now by Charlie XCX. I think this might be my number two at the moment.
Really?
Wow. Of the year. I mean, there hasn't been much music this year.
True, true.
I think that, if that Young Thug, I can't remember when that Young Thug, the newest Young Thug came out, but if it was this year, that's definitely number one. But it might be last year.
Okay. Oh, wait, you mean the one that had Hot on it?
Yeah.
That was definitely last year. I was
okay, so yeah, this is definitely number two. This is number two right now on my album of the year chart.
Yeah, there's right now there's a J-pop artist called Perfume that I listen to religiously. They're pretty, like, if you're into J-pop.
You threw me a track. Yeah, I listened to that track.
Dude, like, everything Perfume makes is, like, amazing. Like, they're great. They're kind of my new obsession right now. They are fucking the shit. They are so good.
Have they released like a new album recently?
Yeah, they released a couple new singles and they're gonna release a new album. It's definitely in my wheelhouse. I expect it to be very, very good.
Well, when they release their new album, you definitely make sure to send it to me and we'll review it on the show.
Yes, yeah. Let's give them some exposure.
Yeah. So shouts out for Perfume.
Perfume. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, so yeah, we did Arca, we did HKE. We don't really have anything else, really. Did you watch Uncut Gems?
Did you watch Neon Genesis Evangelion?
I'm up to the fourth episode. I've been taking it slow.
Oh, so you haven't watched anything new since we last spoke about it?
Since we last spoke on the show, I have watched two new episodes. But I'm not sure my opinions have changed much. The last episode I saw was when he runs away and goes on the train. And, what's her name? Misoku, she comes after him.
Misato.
I gotta say, it's a really beautiful, beautiful episode. I didn't realize that the sound, like, design on Neon Genesis Evangelion was so tight. Because the fourth episode, the last one I saw, was, like, really cool. And for, like, the last, like, 10 minutes of the episode, they have this, like, continual, like, sort of, like, fucking, it's like this continual loop of, like, just like ambient train music, and then every once in a while there'll be like a pop song, like, sort of fades in really quietly and then fades out really slowly, and it's really beautiful. It's like really amazing. I didn't know that was what I was going to be watching.
Did we talk about this over text message, or did we talk about this on the last podcast?
We definitely talked about this over text message. The last podcast, I only watched the first two episodes.
Okay. So, like, that is one of the first episodes where you really realize, like that kind of tone that they're setting in that episode is, there's going to be more of that. Like, it's not going to be, like, that's kind of a cue, I think, a early cue that, like, nah, this shit ain't gonna be like your daddy's anime. It's gonna be like real shit. And that fucking thing where he's on the train and like he's just sitting there and it cuts between like various people getting on and off the train. And like, damn, like, fuck, that is a fucking like punch to the gut, man. God.
Yeah, it was like so, it's really emotional and like really, like, it feels like, it feels like it's Neon Genesis Evangelion's version of like the first Twin Peaks album or the first Twin Peaks episode where they have like the red room or something, you know, where it's like, we've been going easy on you, but like this is where it's like it's starting to get like, this is why you're watching the show, you know? Yeah,
I would absolutely agree with you. I love like shit that scene. That's another. Like, thing about living in Japan is that you fucking, like, I haven't watched very much anime since I got here because, you know, it's a cliche to say it, but, like, goddamn, dude. Like, your life is like anime, and you understand, like, all anime is, there's so much shit where you, when you watch anime in America, you're like, wow, this is such a creative and strange take on, the life of a middle schooler. And then once you get to Japan, you're like, oh no, that wasn't like a creative decision on the part of the filmmaker. That's just what Japan is. Like, that's not, that's just a realistic depiction of Japan.
It's just what it's like.
Yeah, and that part where Shinji is walking through the city, and it's sunset, and everything's pink, and you can hear cicadas. Cicadas in the background.
Yeah.
Like that's just what every sunset, like that's just every day at 6 p.m. in Japan, is like the entire country turns pink, literally, and there's cicadas going wah, 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 wah. And like until you've been like alone in a field or like by a train station with a bunch of cicadas making really loud cicada sounds, like now I know anytime I watch an anime and there's the sound of cicadas droning on, that's like an intentional choice by that director to convey like a feeling of like loneliness and like stagnation and sort of like monotony. But it's like, yeah, it's crazy, the perspective that you get.
Yeah, it's way more beautiful than like an American director would like express that same feeling.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know about sunsets, bitch. I'm from the coast. Like, when you're on the coast, you like you Google search what time the sunset is, and then you drive around and you see like fucking hundreds of people perched up on every like place with their fancy cameras trying to get good pictures of the sunset.
Yeah.
Sort of a commodification of the natural beauty of sunsets. It's kind of depressing, actually.
Yeah. That none of that shit happens in Japan.
That's great. They just draw it instead. They just turn it into an anime.
They just draw it and they jack off to it. Yeah.
Swag.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, please continue watching Nia. I swear to God, I'm gonna get around to watching Uncut Gems at some point.
You have to watch it as soon as you can. It's so good.
Before the next podcast, I'll watch it. I swear to God.
Maybe. Who knows? Well, you can never know. But it's a good movie. You should watch. You shouldn't watch it because you need to watch it for the podcast. You should watch it because
it's an really enjoyable good film. Yeah.
And you will like it. I will say this about it: the first like 5 to 10 minutes are very jarring and very uncomfortable. But after that, you can settle into a comfy viewing experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, word. I don't have much else. Oh, I made a song over the 4th of July. I don't want to talk about it. That'd be gauche.
That would be. Yeah.
But I have been ending the podcast with songs. So, like, the last episode, I ended it with a Viper song. I think the first one, I ended it with a Big Floyd. And so, yeah, I think at the end of this episode, I'm gonna play that song. Just to show you motherfuckers that I don't just talk about Vaporwave. Yes, I make it too, bitch.
Damn. God.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, no, I'm tapped out. I'm all good.
All right. Well, sayonara.
Sayonara. I'm sorry.
I'm